Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more.
This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Sarah Lane, episode 116 for September 2nd, 2009. Gig Park and Gmail.
Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by GoToAssist Express, the easy way to provide instant tech support to your customers, clients, family, or friends. For a free 30-day trial, go to GoToAssist.com/night.
It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
And we are the Net at Night twins.
Woo! I didn't dress the same as you today, though, Leo. I'm sorry.
I don't think you'd look so good in a Scotty vest, 18-pocket corduroy shirt. It's just not your style.
It's not my style, but that's all right. So, Leo, I'm a little depressed today.
Oh, no. What's the matter? Amber MacArthur, what can I do to cheer you up?
Well, there's no good news out there in the tech space.
It's August.
I feel like it's slow.
It's August. It's September now, isn't it? But yes. this is a slow time of year. Stuff just doesn't happen. But there are a few big stories. Gmail was down earlier today. Did you see that?
Yes, I experienced that firsthand. It was funny. I was on a call with someone from Google, and at the same time, Gmail went down, and it was down for a while.
Yeah, it seemed like it was down for at least an hour or two. In fact, it had been up and down most of the earlier in today, and they didn't really explain why it was down. They if you go to the Google status page, it said it's down. We're going to get it up by 1:30 Pacific, and I guess they did. I guess it's back up. But this is a big deal. A lot of businesses, including my own, use Gmail for business email. It sounds like you use it for business email.
I always use it for business email. And, it's one thing when Twitter goes down on a regular basis. But, I think, this just gives me a chance to be productive because I'm not using Twitter. So it's not as big of an issue. But when Gmail goes down, I was in the middle of sending work emails. And like I said, it was down for a while. And I'm sure it impacted a lot of people.
It's a national holiday when it goes down.
It really is. I really don't think I remember it going down for as long as it appeared to go down today for a while.
I can't either.
No.
I think that's a huge story, to be honest, because Google right now is pushing. They've got billboards up here in Silicon Valley saying, tell your boss you want to use Google Apps. They're really pushing business to start using Google Apps. And if they can't keep the servers up, a business is going to think twice if they've got outages.
Yeah. And you know what? It kind of scared me a little bit because, as I mentioned before, I'm working on a book and the book is due in the next month. And I was just about to back everything up to Google Docs because I use it all the time. And then I started to get frightened by the fact that, oh, my gosh, I can't get into Gmail. And it is one of those things when you start relying on it for business, you realize, OK, well, this is great. But, I still need to have other options, I think.
It's kind of a shocker, to be perfectly frank. But
Leo, do you use Gmail pretty much exclusively for email?
No, I like IMAP. I'm a big IMAP fan, and that's of course one of the things you can do with Gmail. IMAP is a competitor to the POP3 email most internet service providers use, and it lets you store the mail on a web server and leave it there. Unlike POP, where you're supposed to kind of keep downloading it, you leave it there, so you have your webmail there, just like Gmail, and then you also have a local client that also has a copy of it, and all your clients are the same. Since I use a lot of computers, if I send a message from one computer, I want to see it in my sent folder on all the computers. If I delete it on one computer, I want it deleted on all the computers, and that's what IMAP does for me. So I use a company, we've probably mentioned this before, called Fastmail. They're out of Australia, fastmail.fm.
Yeah.
And, I pay, I don't know, it's 30 or 40 bucks a year. It's not very expensive, but it's got a lot of nice features, including a better filtering program than Gmail. And it's, by the way, it's never been down.
Ooh, that's good.
But it's not free. And I still have plenty of Gmail accounts that I use for other things. Those are my kind of, you know, extra accounts. And Dane uses it. A lot of people like Colleen and Dane use it as their primary email, as you do.
So, Leo, in your Gmail account, how much of the capacity of the account are you using?
I am using about 1 out of the 7+ gigs I get.
Okay.
How much are you using?
Well, my brother is making fun of me because he, for some reason, had to log into my email account to do something. I can't remember what it was. And I guess I'm using 50% of the capacity.
Wow.
He said he's never seen anyone who's used that much of their space
wow.
on Gmail.
You never delete anything. And you've been using it for as long as anybody, probably, right?
Yeah, for a while. You know what? I never delete anything. That's why I love it. But when I heard that I got to 50% capacity and then it was going down, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I maybe want to start thinking about having some other way to back up some of these important emails.
Up. That's quite a bit. Yeah.
That's a lot.
But that's the promise
crazy.
Of Gmail, unlimited mail. In fact, we just saw a number of universities are starting to look at Gmail. We reported this on Twit this week that what university was it? Harvard was going to start using Gmail as a trial for their student email.
Wow. Which, interesting.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, I think that's not.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Leo, I have to mention something about Twit because I did tune in on Sunday and it was fun as always to watch you. No, but I want to make sure that you don't plan to do any Swedish impressions on the show.
I will. I'm now.
You know my love of Sweden.
Yes, and I'm persona non grata, I think, in all of Scandinavia now. That's really not my Swedish impression. It's my Swedish chef impression. Please don't confuse the two.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Good to know. Well, I think I tuned in at that exact moment.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. On behalf of the people of Sweden, we accept your apology.
Okay.
Of
the people of Sweden? Is that you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I'm not. I'm imagining that I am, but as you know, my background is
you're
I'm Scottish.
Blonde, blue eyes. You could be Swedish.
Oh, brown eyes, but
brown eyes?
Swedish, yeah.
Let me see.
Brown eyes.
Oh, yeah, brown eyes. They're bluish brown. They're bluish brown. I did that to my wife. I said to my wife, oh, I love your green eyes. She said, they're not green. And I was in the doghouse for a little, because we'd been married like 12, 13 years when I said that, so.
Yeah, usually you would know what color eyes your
But she'll be glad that I don't know what color eyes you have. That's a good sign. That's a good thing.
You can replay this.
Yeah. See, I don't even know what color eyes she has. Who? Amber, who? I don't know, Amber. Amber, what do you think?
That girl who shows up on my webcam each week.
That fake Swedish girl. Who is she?
Well, I'll save you right now and move on to our first
Please.
Official headline of the week. So eBay has sold the majority stake in Skype, which is probably the biggest headline that I saw. As I mentioned, the news is kind of dry, but this is a pretty big deal. So they continue to own 35% of Skype, and they've sold off 65%. That headline is all over the
net. I'm actually very happy about that. I was a little worried about Skype because they were really in a kind of a battle with eBay. eBay did a dumb thing. You know, they spent $3.1 billion for Skype, but what they didn't get for that $3.1 billion was the unique technology Skype uses. They didn't get rights to the software. So the owners, the guys who sold Skype for $3.1 billion were unhappy with how Skype was being treated by eBay, and they said, well, we've got a patent on the technology. We're just going to pull it back. We're not going to let you use it.
Just crazy. Just crazy. It's nuts. It's hard to believe things like that happen, Leo.
Well, it seems kind of dumb to spend that much money for something and not get the critical infrastructure that makes it possible. Yeah. Anyway, this is a good solution. It doesn't look like the original Skype founders are owners, although they were making noise about buying it back. I wouldn't be surprised if the investment trust that bought this had some thought that maybe they could spin out a little bit to the Skype owners. Certainly, I hope they do, because that'll give them a stake in it. But Mark Andreessen is one of the new owners of Skype.
Yes. And so is the Canada Pension Plan. So
I saw that. Canada now owns Skype. That's the headline.
I know. I know. That is all over the place. So Canada owns a piece of Skype. I thought that was kind of interesting. So there's a few different parties that are involved in acquiring Skype. And I hope that they all work well together and we continue to have a great product, because I don't know what I would do without it, as I'm sure you feel the same way.
You know, I know you love fonts, and we talked a little bit about Helvetica last week. This is a story from one of our listeners in the chat room, Sir Cake, pointed out that IKEA, the great Scandinavian furniture and design company, which used for a long time Helvetica on its website and on its print stuff, has changed.
Really?
Yes, they've changed their fonts to, let's see, wait a minute. Did they use Verdana and they're moving to something else, or let me read this more carefully.
Okay.
They've changed their typeface. They switched from a custom font, not Helvetica, to Verdana, a Microsoft off-the-shelf generic font designed for not print catalogs, but for the screen. They use Futura. I don't know if they use Futura, but boy, that is a big weird change, because it's not, Verdana is not intended for print.
Yeah, that's a big weird change. That's a really good way to put it, Leo.
Yeah. Big weird change at IKEA.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they would do that. That's interesting, though, in our whole world of fonts. You know what, Leo? We should do a font show. That would be so much fun.
I love typefaces. I just think it's a fascinating subject.
It really is. Well, you know what? This is kind of a neat story as well. It has nothing to do with typefaces, but it does have to do with design. I just read this recently on TechCrunch, where Apple has trademarked their glossy chat bubbles.
No, come on, really?
Yeah, I know. I found this so interesting. So I guess there was a developer who submitted an application to the App Store. Now, the application was rejected. I think it's called Chess Wars was the application. And it was rejected after a 6-week wait because the bubbles that he created in the chat room for the application, as Apple has said, they were too shiny and that they have trademarked that bubbly design.
Oh, please.
I mean, it's making me hate Apple. I don't want to say I'm starting to hate Apple, but I definitely am not the Apple fan that I once was.
Isn't that funny? You're not alone. I think a lot of us are starting to think, you know what it is? I know what's going on. Apple's, it's easy to love a company when it's the scrappy little underdog. And when you're the little underdog, you can do a lot of things that are unseemly if you're the big guy. That's why Microsoft does, people are always banging on Microsoft for doing monopolistic things. It's not a big deal if you're a tiny little company. It starts to become a big deal if you're not. Now, Apple's not a monopoly in the desktop PC space, in the operating system space, but they're pretty close to a monopoly in iPods and MP3 players, in online music stores, in phones, in iPhones, so smartphones. So I think that as they become a bigger, more dominant company and they start to throw their weight around, it'd be one thing if Apple said, "Oh, please don't use glossy bubbles. They're ours." It's another thing if they say, "Glossy bubbles, ours, get away." And I think that's what's happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like people are not cutting Apple the slack they used to.
I know. And, it's funny because I feel as though with the Apple's advertisements and all of their marketing campaigns, I mean, the idea is that they're showing people who are kind of young and free and running around with their devices and designing and being creative. And yet I feel in the past couple of years, I feel the exact opposite way about Apple. I feel like they're this company that's trying to clamp down on everything especially with a case like this. And it seems to really kind of go against the brand that they're trying to express.
So it's not merely that they're monopoly, just that they're not the alternative that they used to be. They're not hip with it.
I feel like, at one point they felt like they were a very authentic brand. So the idea that they kind of would live the life that they were trying to sell to other people through their products. But now I feel as though, you're selling these products to people who believe that in this culture of things being free online and sharing things online. And yet Apple as a company, generally speaking, doesn't necessarily practice any of those things.
No, they're far from open.
Everything is locked down.
We own those bubbles. You stay away from them.
Yeah, the bubbles, the songs, the whatever it might be, everything is locked down everywhere. And I feel as though there's going to be, a bit of a backlash towards this, especially when you get, there was also, do you remember a case, Leo, a few months ago? I think it was with a school in British Columbia where they had an apple used in their logo, just an actual apple. Like it wasn't the apple.
Yes.
And Apple went after them as well.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, how can you trademark? I mean, I understand the trademarks are definitely a legitimate thing. But when it gets down to the fact that you're going after schools for using an apple, I mean, the apple is symbolic of education and has been for much longer
than Apple built
computers.
Well, it's business, but and somebody's pointing out, well, you can't go after a company for protecting their business. And I understand it's business, but if you sell yourself as being alternative and subversive and thinking differently,
exactly,
then if you start acting like a big business, people are naturally going to get a little upset with you. It doesn't mean you don't do it. In fact, they have, I guess, a fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders to protect themselves. But I'll give you an example for us. You know, we're pretty upset with all the different companies using the word twit. Not to represent us, but to represent Twitter. But it's kind of become a little bit of a problem, especially now that you sent me one. I won't even mention the name, but you sent me one. That's pretty, you know, direct infringement.
Yeah, that one's a bad one. I have to
And
agree.
I propose, you know, we have a legal team, and you know, we were pursuing these guys, and I mentioned it in Friend Feed, and a lot of people were supportive, saying, yeah, you got to do it, you got to protect yourself. But a lot of people said, oh, don't be like that. That's business as usual. Don't be. And I kind of thought, you know, we're not going to, we could win in the legal battle, but we could lose big time in the mind share wars. And which is more important for me, really, in the long run? I need people's goodwill. So I can kind of understand this is a tough thing for Apple. They have perhaps a fiduciary responsibility, certainly have the legal right to go after people for using shiny chat bubbles. But is it really worth it, Apple? Is it that important?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I mean, it's one of those things where I feel as though you have to pick your battles, right? And I can understand it to a certain extent, but there are a couple of really high-profile cases, and that school, I think, is one of them. And I think the chat bubbles is another one where I just feel as though they're kind of going a little bit too far. And I think the goodwill towards Apple in general, I feel as though, you know, isn't necessarily always going to be there. If they continue to do things like this. And
have you installed Snow Leopard yet?
No, because I've been reading bad experiences on Twitter. So I don't know. You have, though, right, Leo?
I install it. I like it. You should be aware, though, and this is another, by the way, this is, I think, the reason Apple's not inviting me to their press events anymore, because I'm no longer the Apple fanboy that some thought I was. I think I've always been fair and even-handed to both sides. In fact, if you go back to the days of System 9, I was scathing. I was really hard on Apple. I really thought they were terrible. They were doing a terrible job. So I call it as I see it. And in this case, Snow Leopard doesn't, for all of the benefits of Snow Leopard are under the hood, most of them anyway, are under the hood for developers. End users aren't going to see much benefit. They're going to see some speed increase. They're going to see a smaller operating system. If you need to use Exchange, you can use Apple Mail with Exchange. If you're blind, it's great. There's some great new features, and it's only $30. But it does cause problems, and so it's a really good idea to check your compatibility before you rush to upgrade. Because I'll be honest, I upgraded, and it's like, oh, it's Leopard. What's the difference? And I think that I wouldn't rush out to upgrade. I'd wait till all the compatibility issues go away.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
I think that's smart.
So, you know, I have another link, but maybe we should get our guests on.
Well, before we do that, can I briefly pause for station identification, a.k.a.
Of course.
An ad? The folks at Citrix have done it again. They've made a great new product I want to tell you about. If you have to deal with customers, if you are in IT or you have a program you support, and you know that, you know, people are going to call in and say, this isn't working, or how can I do this? Can I show you something really cool? It's called Go to Assist. Go to Assist. It's easy for your customers. It's easy for you. We started using this on the screensavers to actually help people who called in. This program has been improved so much since those days. It's just spectacular. It allows you as an IT professional to do tech support unattended if you want. You could set it up on your customer's machine. They go home and you could still work on the machine. You could do up to 8 sessions at once. So if you start and install on one, you can move on to the next, the next, the next. So it makes you much more efficient. You could see what's running on their system, including the exact version of the operating system, what security software is going in the background. That can help a lot. I know that's the first question I ask. All right, what security software are you running in the background? You can even copy files from your computer to theirs for quick fixes, things like that. This is a wonderful program for people in the support business. And I can give it to you absolutely free right now for the next 30 days. So there's no reason not to try it. I want you to go to assist.com. They call it Go to Assist Express, but it's go to assist.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. for 30 days unlimited use. Just like all the services from Citrix, you start your sessions with just a click of the mouse. You could send instant email invitations for the person you're helping. I did this with my mom. You know, I hear mom. Actually, I think I had the link and I pasted it into the chat. And I said, click this link, mom. And all of a sudden, I'm able to get on her PC. She can watch what I'm doing. Works on Macs and PCs. Just fantastic stuff. I highly recommend it. And of course, 128-bit encryption, so you're completely secure as you use this over SSL. Go to assist.com/night. They have day passes if you just want to, you know, help mom out once. If you're a professional, I think you're going to want to get the month to month, but at least try it free for a month.
Yeah.
Go to assist.com/night. Now tell me, but while I'm getting our guests on the line, what Gig Park is.
Okay, Gig Park is this really interesting service. It was started here in Toronto, I think, pretty sure about that, with a couple of guys. Now, the idea behind it is that it allows you to find local services that your friends use. So it's really taking that idea that Google isn't necessarily good enough anymore in terms of giving you recommendations of who you should get to paint your house or who you should get as a mechanic. So it's really focusing on recommended services from your own network. So kind of like, you know, taking the idea of Twitter where you trust your own little network and expanding it into a place where you can go and you can kind of officially kind of play off that idea that you do have your own network and you only trust recommendations from them. So imagine Craigslist.
Mm-hmm. And they're Canadian.
Yes.
Which is always a good thing.
Leo, we have to get more Canadiana on the show now and again.
Is this a CRTC recommendation or a requirement?
Yeah, really. You don't have to worry about those CRTC requirements, so that's okay, Leo.
So we have Noah and Pima on the line here.
Yes, we
let
do.
Me see if I can get them, get their... this is Pima, right? Hi, Pima.
It is. Hi, Leo. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Great to see you. Noah is also in Toronto, right? Let me get to Noah's screen. Oh.
Hi, guys. It's Amber.
Hey, Amber.
Hi. And so, Leo, I really was excited about having these guys on because they're young entrepreneurs, and they recently did a pretty significant deal here in Canada. And I think the idea behind the service is great because I think we're going to see more and more services like this in the future. And I'm not doing your service justice, guys, so I'm going to get one if you explain it better than I could. I was rambling on and on and on.
So, yeah, how would I tell? Give us an idea, Noah, of how we would use Gig Park.
Sure. Gig Park is all about finding those local services you can trust, and you do it through recommendations from friends. So you go on, you can easily connect with your friends, and then if you're looking for, let's say, a lawyer or a plumber or a handyman, you can easily see who your friends recommend. If you can't find something, you can see who the friends of your friends recommend. If you can't find something there, we make it really easy to ask your friends through Gig Park and collect a whole bunch of answers in a public forum, or you can see who other people are recommending to their friends in the Gig Park community. So we've really been very, very good at connecting people around this need of finding local businesses that they need.
Is it only Canada?
You know, we definitely are stronger in Canada because that's where we started. And actually, our Acquirer Can Pages is also based in Canada. But we've noticed little groups of friends emerging all over the world. So it's actually been quite exciting to watch.
That's neat. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. So when did you get acquired?
It was announced a week ago, last Monday.
So when did you start? When did you start the company? What's the timeline from when you started to when you got acquired? Because this is the dream of every entrepreneur, yes. Right?
It was. It's been a wild ride, actually. So, Pema and I started talking about something we possibly could do together. Late 06, early 07, we launched a private beta of Gig Park with 25 friends in my living room. On August 07.
Wow.
We opened to the public so anyone could join, anyone could participate.
That's always the hard thing, though, isn't it? Because you got to get a network effect going before something like this is useful. So you have to.
Totally.
It's almost a chicken and egg thing.
It's true. But the good thing about Gig Park is that you really only need, you know, a handful of friends and it's useful. So if Gig Park was only ever used by the 25 people in that room, then it worked.
Right.
Because those 25 people can come together and connect and share all their favorite businesses. So that was in August of 07. And then February 08, we went open to the public. In the summer of 08, it was pretty big for us because we connected in with Twitter and Facebook, and that allowed our users to easily map their entire social graphs. They didn't have to recreate it. And then we had a couple other big things, and then we got acquired now. So it's just, we've been, you know, a year and a half, 2 years of being out there and
that's
live.
Pretty quick. That's a nice quick turnaround.
Pema, just in terms of the group of you who came together to actually create this company, did you guys quit your full-time jobs to do it? I always love hearing about that transition when you knew, okay, this is going to be kind of sticky and have a successful future.
Sure thing. Well, it's actually a bit of a funny story. Noah and I worked together at DOSE, and for Canadian listeners out there, they might remember DOSE being an almost national newspaper that was launched a few years ago. And DOSE was actually closed up just a few months before we decided to embark on Gig Park. And when it was closed up, Noah and I realized that, you know, we'd found each other and we worked together so well that we should keep working together. And that's why we started talking about doing something else. But in fact, the need for Gig Park kind of came out of a personal need when Noah and I were looking around to basically look for employment lawyers as we went through being laid off from my last job. So we realized we couldn't find one we liked, and so we went out there and asked our friends if they could recommend one. And that was basically the very beginning of the genesis of Gig Park.
Now, was this modeled on something that you had seen that existed online already, or was it kind of a net new idea for you guys?
I think it was, like I said, it was a personal need that drove it. And then there was a whole lot of things that made it possible. So the fact that Facebook was so huge and people had mapped their social networks and they were communicating on an everyday basis with all of their friends meant that now, instead of having to do what people have always done, which is call up their friends on the telephone or email them and ask for recommendations, suddenly they can tap into things like their Facebook network and their Twitter network. So I don't think it was that we saw something and we wanted to kind of recreate it. It was more that we saw a need, and there were the things happening out in the internet world where we could answer that need with a good product on the web.
So explain to you how the process works in terms of signing up and then building out your network from there and starting to get recommendations. What's involved in that whole process?
Sure. Shall I do that, Noah? Let me launch
sure.
into it. Right. Well, we try and make sign up really easy. And in fact, a lot of people sign up in the site after their friends ask them a question. So for example, I've just done a whole lot of renovations here, and one of the things I had to do was find a contractor to come and do all of the renovations. So this process might start where I create a request, say I'm looking for a renovator, and I put that on my Twitter status, for example, and that fires out to all my Twitter friends. And then some of my Twitter friends who know a good renovator will jump on and follow the link in the tweet and turn up at Gig Park on my request and then answer it. Tell me about a great renovator that they know of. And while they're going through that process, they could put in their email and password and things like that and create an account really seamlessly. Then we take them through a really simple join wizard and we sort of give them some onboarding steps. And the most important of those are to just pop in your Twitter name or to use Facebook Connect to connect it with your Facebook account. And that means that as soon as you get into the site, you instantly populate your newsfeed full of recommendations by all of the people
great
that
idea.
You know that are using Gig Park.
That's that problem of getting that social graph going. That does it really quickly.
Yeah. And Noah talked about the summer being a really big time for us. Tapping in through Facebook Connect and Twitter was absolutely huge because users don't need to do anything. They jump on there and their network's already there.
Was it Johnny Worthington's asking in our friend feed chat? Was you said only positive recommendations, right? Or can somebody say whatever you do, don't use this person as a realtor?
Obviously, we don't go on and tell people what they can and can't write.
Okay,
99.9% of the content on Gig Park is all positive, and it's just the way we've set it up. You basically have to complete the sentence.
Yeah.
I recommend
exactly.
Mm. Right.
So it all came from that that first chat in Noah's living room that he talked about. Those 25 people, and when we went around the room and people said, like I did, you know, I'm renovating my house, I need some contractors. The people who answered them didn't jump in and say, let me tell you about the 25 worst contractors in Toronto. Instead, they said, here's the guy you got to call. And so we basically built it to emulate that conversation in that living room. And so that's how it's worked ever since.
How did you get my picture in there so fast? Did you pull that out? Because I just signed up and already there's a picture in there. Did you get
Gravatar,
that?
Gravatar. Thank you, Matt Mullenweg.
It's a Gravatar. I love it. So you knew that it was me and you immediately got my picture in there. That's
it's
great.
All about making it seamless, Leo. You know, making it, there's so many open source and open access things out there.
Exactly.
But I think the more seamless you can make the experience, the more likely you are to have a good experience on your first time.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. I think what interests me the most about this is that I feel as though, you know, sometimes I go out on Twitter and I'll ask people, hey, can you recommend someone who can do this or do that? But I love the idea of having it sort of centralized in one place. And in some ways, I almost feel as though Google becomes a useless tool for me when I'm searching for someone to help me do something. Like, for example, I need to build a railing in my house that I pulled out to fit a couch up into my house. It's a long story. But I have no idea where to go. Leo's laughing because I always do stupid things like this, but I have no idea where to go to find someone to actually build that. And so the idea that you are able to kind of leverage those relationships in an easy way, I think is a sign of kind of where the web is going with our own trusted networks.
Totally. You know, we didn't invent anything new here. Word of mouth has been going on forever, you know? So way before the internet, before email, and before phones, people relied on their neighbors to tell them who they should hire, and so something that's always continued. We've just ported it into this new age where you're all of a sudden easily connected with all your friends.
You did something smart, at least from the point of view of getting acquired. You also have Gig Park for business. So you encourage businesses also to be a part of Gig Park, kind of going in the opposite direction.
Very true. Yeah. So for businesses, there's a fantastic proposition there, which is you get most of your business through word of mouth and through things like testimonials. We make it easy for you to amplify those word of mouth and get your testimonials to work harder for you. So we give you a public testimonials page for free. We make it really easy for you to collect your testimonials. You can just, with a couple clicks, send to all your clients, hey, recommend me here in this very public forum. It helps helps them on Google. So anytime anyone searches them on Google, they can see an entire testimonials page there for them. And for the people recommending, we make it really easy for them to share it with all their friends. So we're amplifying the word of mouth that already works for local businesses. And that's one of the things that CanPage has found really attractive in us.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could tell there's certain things that anybody who's going to acquire a business is going to look at. And one is the chance to monetize that business. And clearly that's where you can make a lot of money is by outreach to businesses and getting them involved.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. We're really excited about that. You know, one of the really good things that we know, one of the great things is that, when we email businesses after they've been recommended, just to let them know, hey, you've been recommended by Leo, and this is what he said about you. You Great. Should come on and participate in the network yourself and create your own Smart. Testimonials page. From that, we get an unbelievable reaction. We're like 45 to 50% just through that one email. Come on and sign up for Gig Park. So that's part of our viral loop that has really hit home with small businesses and obviously resonates with CanPages.
So I read about the CanPages acquisition on TechCrunch. Like you said, that happened about a week ago. So how has your company changed? I mean, it hasn't been much time, but what's going to happen with that acquisition? Are there big plans to expand, or how are you guys planning to grow down the road?
We're ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic about the partnership with CanPages. It's a marriage made in heaven. Going forward, we're short term, we're going to focus on getting all of our recommendations on CanPages business profiles, and allow all of CanPages 3.5 to 4 million uniques a month to easily recommend their businesses through using the Gig Park social recommendations platform.
Can somebody from below the 49th parallel ask a question? Is CanPages like your Yellow Pages? Is that what that is? What is CanPages?
Yeah. So CanPages is the largest independent local search and directories publisher in Canada.
It's so, print directories or is it online stuff?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
They're pretty new themselves. Last couple of years, I think they started in 07. They've come up unbelievably quickly.
This is a nice piece to add to their, because they just have listings. Now you have testimonials.
It's a beautiful marriage. It's great. I love it. And I think they're pretty excited about it too. And I know all the CampPages users, and there's more and more every month, are in for a very special treat. And I think businesses on, CampPages advertisers are going to have a really special treat too with the ability to really manage their testimonials online and really, really help their public profile.
What have you done to keep vendors from padding their recommendations? That's a problem on a lot of these sites. It's a problem on Yelp and other sites like that. What do you do to protect people like me from phony recommendations?
Well, the way, as Noah was describing in the beginning, the way it works is it focuses on friends and going out there and querying.
Oh, yeah. So it'd be my friends. So,
exactly. So if you were to recommend yourself 1,000 times, Leo,
see, that's
all
smart.
Power to you, and your friends would probably think you were
it. That's really smart. So it's unlike Yelp, say, I'm not getting recommendations from strangers. This is my social graph. This is what they're saying.
It is. And if you want to, you can go out there and you can look at what the community are recommending. But more often than not, you can find it through your friends.
Yeah. This is where Facebook really could make a killing, too.
Yeah.
And this is the strength of Facebook.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
When we built
the business, there were some tools out there. But we've got huge ambitions for where this can go. Obviously, the social tools out there are getting more and more advanced. And we think we can do a much more integrated job at letting people query their network to find local businesses that they can trust.
Johnny has a great suggestion for you. He says, you need a location aware app for iPhones and Prees and the other smartphones out there.
So you asked about what it was like after acquisition. And obviously we've got big, big plans. One of the things is resources. CampPages is a fantastic company with a lot of resources. And we're looking forward to putting some of those resources to work to develop things exactly like that.
Yeah,
we've got some sketches for an iPhone app that we're really excited to start work on.
Isn't that great?
Very cool. Hey, where did the name come from?
Yeah, Gig Park. Gig is a job or a service. So if you're a plumber, you've got a gig today, it means you're getting paid. A park is a good place to share things. Put them together. You got Gig Park. And the URL was available. So
yeah, that's really, really the bottom line. As long as you didn't call it Twit Park, I'm happy. I don't care. Gig Park's a good name. I like it. It's memorable.
Yes.
And the URL was available. Yeah.
So for people all around the world, though, they can all become part of the site if they'd like to and start to leverage some of the tools that are there?
They certainly can. Yep. The intention is to keep it available for absolutely everyone. We're going to do some work in Canada to integrate it with CampPages in the next little while, but Gig Park's not going anywhere, and it's going to be available for anyone who wants to use it around the world.
I would presume that Toronto right now is your biggest area.
It is. We actually have a great partnership with a Canadian newspaper, Metro, all across Canada. And so we're actually really strong in the six cities where Metro publishes in Canada. So it's not just Toronto, but it is mainly focused in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
very
great.
Cool.
Congratulations, guys, on your great success.
Yeah, congratulations, guys, and thanks for joining us. And I remember when you contacted me quite some time ago, I never imagined I would see the company as a news item on TechCrunch. So way to go. Good job.
Thanks, Amber.
Yeah.
Hey,
thanks,
can I just
Amber.
Say, I watched the beginning of the show, and there's obviously been some problems with Gmail today, and some Apple's doing some things that maybe don't endear them to us like they used to. I've just convinced Noah, after 5 long years of working with him, to switch over from a PC to a Mac and to an iPhone and to switch to
and
Gmail.
To Gmail.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't done me any favors today, you two.
Noah's saying, screw you, Pema, screw you.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
No. You did the right thing. You did the right thing.
Yeah, you did the right thing. Yeah, you definitely did the right thing.
We kid because we love, right? Right, Amber?
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
We're huge Apple fans, and I think we just like to talk about this stuff once in a while, and I think when stuff becomes mainstream, you get a little more critical too.
That's exactly right.
In some
That's
ways,
exactly right.
Yeah.
The one other thing I wanted to add, Amber, is we also wanted to thank you personally, because you, along with so many others in the Toronto tech community and the Canadian tech community, have been so supportive of Gig Park from day one. When we showed up with a couple sketches looking for some developers, Everyone welcomed us with open arms, has been there to give us some fantastic advice. So from everyone, from the DemoCamp people to the Mesh people, have been so supportive, and you're amongst that list, Amber. So lots of love to you and to the entire Toronto and tech community and Canadian techies out there.
Well, listen, if I am able to find someone to help me rebuild my railing that I pulled out to fit my couch in, then I will be a happy girl.
I got someone for you.
All right. Let's
see, that's how it works. That's how it works.
Yeah, we got to talk after this or my kid's going to go rolling down the stairs. So, he's about to crawl soon, so I'll be emailing you guys.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
Emma,
guys.
And Noah. Great news. It's always nice to see nice guys succeed. And make millions of dollars after a year and a half of work. I hate you. All right. take care, guys. Congratulations. GIGPARK.com if you want to check out Gig Park. It's amazing. We're in a bad economy and people say there's an internet bubble, but it's still possible to create a great product and make money and do very well in this economy.
Yeah. And there's more and more stories like this of small companies, I think, who are getting acquired and definitely having some great success this year. So it's always nice to highlight them.
Do you want to do one more link? Then we'll get Sarah Lane on with our site of the night.
Yes, let's do it. So for my last link, this is a story that came out of Mashable. The idea that says women and Wikipedia don't mix.
Oh, I know that. That's so true. Oh, that's so true.
But the idea is just that according to a recent study that was done, only 13% of people who contribute to Wikipedia are women. I was kind of surprised about that stat, but I guess it turns out us ladies have other things to do. I don't know. I don't know what that
means. Have you ever edited a Wikipedia article or contributed
to it? No, and then I thought about I've used all the other tools that we've profiled on the show, and it's something that with Wikipedia, I've never gone in to edit an article. And so I found that kind of interesting that it's pretty male dominated. And they definitely surveyed quite a few people. I think there was almost 54,000 respondents who they talked to. So a small percentage is male. So yeah, I don't know what that means, Leo, but I find it interesting to hear stats like this.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either. I find it hard to believe that women don't use Wikipedia.
See, I think they're big users of Wikipedia,
yeah.
Right? So
that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that maybe it's just something where they, you know, it's just, for some reason, they just end up using the site but don't necessarily contribute. Maybe just the process of going in and editing articles is just something that hasn't really caught on with the ladies.
With the ladies.
With the ladies.
Ladies. It hasn't caught on with the ladies. I know what something's caught on with the ladies. It's Sarah Lane's site of the night. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But first, I want to tell all the ladies in the audience about our good friends at audible.com. I think that probably it's an equal mix of male and female that use audiobooks. I'm a big fan of audiobooks. I know a lot of our listeners are. It's a great way to get reading done when, you know, you normally couldn't hold a book in front of your face. I mean, I listen all the time. I went to sleep last night listening to an audiobook. And it lulls you to sleep. You know, eventually I kind of went, and I stopped it. And then, you know, when I went back to the book the next morning on my way to the gym, I just rewound it to the last thing I remember, and I'm on my way. The new iPhone interface actually makes it really easy to jump around in a book. You can jump back 30 seconds. You can quickly scroll around. So it's very quick to get back to where you were and continue on. They've really done a nice job. But, you know, it's not just iPhone. It's iPod. It's the Zune. It's the in fact, I can't wait to see how it works on the new Zune HD when that comes out. That's going to be great. It works on the Kindle. Hundreds of different devices. In fact, you go to the device manager list at audible.com. You can see them. Now, I haven't read this book, but I was looking for an Audible recommendation. I thought, this is one maybe that'd be good for this show. The Email Murders. It's a mystery. Oh. I like mysteries. I love, you know, it's one of the things about Audible is sometimes you want a page turner, something that you just, you know, get engrossed in and you go. And mysteries are always a good choice for that one. This is actually a juvenile, so I'm going to play this when the kids are in the car. A trip to the French Riviera should be a nice vacation for high school super sleuth PC Hawk and his best friend Mackenzie. But when a woman is murdered at their hotel, PC and Mac can't just sit around and wait for the cops to solve the crime, the email murders. It looks like they've got an IBM PC Junior, though, as the they're going to have to update that. No, actually, that's a Mac LC, I think. that's going way back on the cover. When did this come out? Yeah, it's 2009. It came out today, actually. So who knows? Maybe they just have an old cover.
That sounds like a fun one.
Doesn't that sound fun? Anyway, yeah, the idea is there are 60,000 books on here. All sorts of wonderful books. You're going to find something to amuse anybody. Whether you listen in your commute, I listen at the gym on the exercise bicycle. It's great. I drive carpool and listen then whenever I have to get in the car or get on the exercise bicycle, or even wash dishes. I've got my Audible ready to go, so I get a lot of reading done. It's funny how it adds up, maybe even as many as an hour, 2-3 hours a day of reading that otherwise you'd be spent, just staring off into space.
Especially you, Leo.
Nothing wrong with that. Yes, I spend a lot of time staring off into space. Nothing wrong with that. But, maybe I'd like to get something done, too. Audible.com. Oh, this is interesting. Poe Bronson's got a new book called Nurture Shock, New Thinking. This would be good for you about children.
Yeah.
In a world of modern, involved, caring parents, why are so many kids aggressive and cruel? Where is intelligence hidden in the brain, and why does that matter? Why do cross-racial friendships decrease in schools that are more integrated? If 98% of kids think lying is morally wrong, then why do 98% of kids lie? And on and on. Science journalist Poe Bronson and Ashley Merriman. Oh, we've interviewed Ashley Merriman on Jumping Monkeys.
Oh, really?
I think they're partners. This sounds really good. Brand new, just came out. Scary. Nurture Shock. Here's another good one. You got to read this. Find out what's going on through Connor's, what's going through Connor's little mind.
I'll be traumatized after.
You may not want to know. Poe Bronson reads it. He's actually very good at these. This is Unabridged. I'm going to recommend this one for you. This is good.
All right. That sounds good.
See how quickly I found that? Audible.com/night.
Leo, after seeing watching many episodes of The Family Guy with the baby Stewie, traumatized about what babies think.
Baby Stewie.
So that
mother,
book is a good one.
Come here, mother. You're going to die. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Do you think Connor's thinking those things? No.
I hope not.
No. No, I'm sure.
Of
not.
Course.
Go to audible.com/night right now. You can sign up for that gold account that gives you a book a month. Your first one's free. If you're a mom or a dad, this might be a really good one. Nurture Shock, New Thinking About Children. But there's plenty of other stuff to listen to. Like I said, mysteries, kids and young adults, sci-fi, a great selection of sci-fi if you're a sci-fi lover. I think listening to sci-fi on Audible is great because it's almost like going to a movie. It really comes to me. It comes to life when you listen to somebody. So a great reader really bringing one of these books alive. Oh, if you just saw The Time Traveler's Wife, you can get the book that inspired that movie. How about that?
By Audrey. I hear the book is really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, better than the movie. Yeah, that's.
Oh, I'm going to put this on my list. I'm adding this right now to my next listen. Look at that. Audible.com/night. We thank them for their support of Ned at Night. Now, let me turn behind me to the Skypeosaurus and call in Sarah Lane. See what she's got for us. You and she were comparing notes, and you both agreed it was just kind of a slow season, huh?
It was a slow night on the news front. So hopefully she's around. She said she did dig up a link, so she should be there.
Hi,
she's around, baby. Yay! She's around. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah Lane.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Sarah. Petite Sarah.
Hello.
The night.
Yeah, Amber. It was sort of a slow day on the side of the night front, but. I did happen to find a pretty cool website. I just hope you guys haven't talked about it already.
Uh-oh.
I don't think so. Yeah. So let us know. What is it?
Okay. So this is fun. Let me set the scene here. When's the last time that either of you went to a fast food restaurant?
Oh, I go there all the time.
So like yesterday?
Or? No, a couple of weeks. But Henry likes to go to In-N-Out, so I take him to In-N-Out. I'm a
In-N-Out
bad father.
Is sort of a special case because everyone goes like, well, it's kind of gourmet. It just happens
not
to be
gourmet.
Fast food.
It's junk food. Well, it's a hamburger and fries. Come on.
And milkshakes. Really, they make good milkshakes.
Oh, you've been to In-N-Out? How? I didn't know you'd been In-N-Out. They don't have it in Canada.
No, no. I go to Internet when I go to the States usually. Well, depending on, you know, what city I'm in. But yeah, I try to frequent the place once in a while.
So, Sarah.
Anyway, the reason I ask is because one of the reasons that I don't get fast food regularly is not only you sort of know that it's not good for you, but there's something sort of about the presentation that always leaves a lot to be desired. Yeah, you know, you get your food, you look at it, and you're like, and you feel kind of bad about yourself type of a thing.
Yeah.
Well, a new website is destined to change our attitudes about fast food, and it's called fancyfastfood.com.
I've never heard of this. You found a good one.
I know. Okay, good. So this is actually, it's a fun sort of community type of a challenge. The idea is you buy food from a fast food restaurant. Any fast food restaurant will do. And then, you know, basically buy a variety of things on the menu from the restaurant. No cheating. You can add water or, you know, or maybe a garnish, maybe a little parsley on the top. But basically, you have to create something gourmet only from the ingredients in the fast food.
Oh, that is so funny.
It's hysterical. So, for example, the featured food started out as a $5 footlong from Subway, and it turned into the $5 farfalle.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to really eat that because, you know, he took the bread and made it into pasta bow ties.
But if you just looked at the dish, you'd say, ooh, this looks very good. And it's all kind of the same. I mean, it's all starch, right?
Yeah.
And then so what you do is, you know, you go ahead and make it, and then you let people know what you used as ingredients. And it's so funny, at the very bottom of the website, there's like this disclaimer where it says, you know, you agree to truthfully claim that all the ingredients of your recipe came from the same restaurant, with the exception of an occasional simple garnish.
Oh, how funny.
I love
that. That's so funny. That's a good pick.
This is a Tumblr blog, too, which makes it nice because I can just add this.
Exactly. You can follow it. In fact, I found it through the Tumblr folks. They do sort of like a weekly, you know, here are, you know, some fun Tumblr logs that you might want to follow. So that's how I found this. My favorite, I have to say, my favorite that I've seen so far is... It's about three down, Leo. It's the Le Chicken McConfit, which is fancy chicken McNuggets.
And well, wait a minute. Now, Amber might like the tiramisu made out of Tim Hortons donuts.
Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. I have to check that out.
Ooh, this looks good. Fancy chicken McNuggets. Oh, this looks very gourmet.
Yeah, and not only is it gorgeous, you know, you get served that at a nice restaurant and you think, ooh, isn't this nice? But
it's the same ingredients.
There's a video tutorial and I watched it, and actually I have to say, I mean, this guy is pretty darn resourceful. Chicken McNuggets have never looked so good, and all he really did was use a 10-piece order, some French fries, a medium Coke, I know that sounds disgusting, a fruit and walnut salad, little barbecue sauce, little hot mustard, little sweet and sour, some water, and a little chives for garnish.
Now we have to say, nobody says this is going to taste good. You just have to make it. It has to look good, right?
Well, yeah. Exactly. It has to look good. But the thing is like, I think we can all agree that deep down inside, fast food really does taste good.
That's
it's
true.
Just that it's got a bad rap because it's so bad for you. But if it looks better, you know, it kind of gives you a new lease on eating. I don't know if it really does any of those things.
I think tiramisu made from Tim Hortons donuts. How could you go wrong with something
how
so
could you
delicious?
Go wrong?
I think that's classic.
I'm not familiar with the Tim Hortons.
Hortons, it's a Canadian treat.
Sarah, Tim Hortons is so big in Canada. People, you think Starbucks fans are crazy? Tim Hortons fans in Canada are insane. They go crazy over this coffee, and it's unbelievably popular here, and they make donuts and coffee and really
And
bad
don't forget
cups.
Timbits, as opposed Timbits, to yeah, Tim's like, Bits, which you probably really wouldn't want.
Yeah, a little round donut. It's a donut hole. And literally, Tim Hortons fans are... the most intense coffee fans I've ever seen in my travels.
It's not that good, believe me. But anyway,
it's not good. I'm not a big Tim Hortons fan, but
they ask, remember they used to ask us Tim Hortons or second cup as a way to see if I was a genuine Canadian.
Yeah. I guess I'm not Canadian.
So this is a very interesting site. Wow.
It's it's all very silly, but I think that for folks who like to engage in sort of fun cooking experiments, It's a great little site to give you a little inspiration. Not only is it like a ha ha ha, look what they did, but I mean, all the directions are laid out there. And these folks are saying, hey, I made this. I'm, you know, pretty excited about how it turned out. And let me share what I did with you so you can do the same thing. It's the next generation of fast food. I'm convinced.
They actually have a YouTube channel. So I guess they really make it easy for you to copy what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You just follow the video.
I love it.
I can't say I'm going to go with
Timbits tiramisu isn't not really.
Yeah,
you're more of a chicken McNugget confit.
Well, no, not that either. But maybe I could get a $5 footlong without any meat.
I was going to say, how about this? This is the fondue du sept ans, fancy 7-Eleven.
Fancy 7-Eleven fondue. I'm there. I love that stuff.
I love this. This is a really funny site.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Faux foie gras made out of Nathan's hot dogs. But see, yeah, you're a vegetarian, so we have to find something vegetarian. The Timbits would work. There's just coffee and donuts in that.
Exactly. I mean, there's stuff for me. There's stuff for me there. Don't you worry about me, Leo. I can figure out a way to feed myself fast food. There's always something good for me.
What do you eat if you go to In-N-Out? Do you eat it? Is there anything you can eat there?
French fries, milkshake.
A milkshake.
And then you can do the burger animal style without the animal.
Yeah.
Oh, so you get all the mayonnaise, but none of the meat.
Grilled cheese. Right. It's grilled cheese with like mustard and ketchup and pickles, and it's totally fine. Believe me, I'm not going out of my way to go get one of those. But if we're going to Tahoe and everybody's stopping,
everybody's there.
I can have French fries.
This looks good. You go to Wendy's and you get the fancy Baconator combo, and you can turn it into a Wendy's Napoleon.
Love it.
One Wendy's Baconator, one large fry, one small Coke, one bottle of water, two little cups of ketchup, and 12 sugar packets.
So the next time any of us are at a fancy restaurant and we get a fancy dessert and it comes out looking like that, think twice.
Who knows what it is? I know.
They may have just run off to Taco Bell across the street and put together something really beautiful. That tastes good.
This is a wonderful site. Good cat. Good catch.
Yeah, good find, especially at the last minute, Sarah.
Well, Amber, you know, I work well under pressure. That's the benefits of being a professional.
It's true.
It's happened.
Sarah Lane, always a pleasure. Yes?
I have edited Wikipedia entries in the past.
Ah, I was going to ask you, are you a woman Wikipedia-er?
Yeah, including my own, and I got in a little trouble for doing that. I guess you're not supposed to do that.
Not supposed to do that.
Even if you put bad information on there. It was bad information. But I think that the reason a lot of, it's not as if, you know, men or any. I think that the process for editing Wikipedia entries is really convoluted and somewhat confusing. It doesn't mean that women don't have the capability to do it anymore, but I'm actually surprised that so many people are editing them at all.
Well, I think really what it is a self-selecting group, because you're right. I mean, you have to fit, and it's getting harder and harder. They're closing more and more of these entries down. You really have to be part of the in crowd to be an editor these days. And that's too bad. That's really changed the whole Wikipedia kind of feeling, you know?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
But that's maturity. That's the maturity of the platform. It's a success.
I feel like we're ending on such a somber note all of a sudden after
life
our
sucks.
Fun with fast food.
Keep eating
dead. Gmail's down and life sucks. That's the name of this episode.
No.
I like Sarah's Twitter. Did you see what Sarah tweeted? Do you want to share that with us, Sarah?
Oh, what did I say?
You had a little response to the Gmail's down people.
The reason that I tweeted this is because for about 4 hours, my entire Twitter stream, filled with perfectly smart, you know, contemporaries of mine who understand how to get around things, was all about whining about how Gmail was down. It was driving me crazy. So I wrote, number one, log into your iGoogle.com page. Number two, add the Gmail widget. Number three, STFU. And it's funny, I actually had a couple of folks on Facebook, because of course my tweets go over there, write sort of like, whoa, harsh, sorry, I didn't, you know. Sorry.
No, but now that you explain the context, that it was just dominating STFU, Twitter, I understand
that. Exactly. Yeah. And STFU is, it's all in good fun. So, you know, it's not like, anyway. I got a lot of retweets, so all is not lost.
You're probably
Gmail's back up, so the world is spinning again.
It's all good.
You're going to be on Twitter faves before you know it.
Oh,
that's a Twitter fave for sure. Have you seen that page?
My week. Is it favored.com?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just I just got my first 50 fave tweet, so I'm really excited about it.
Neat.
So can I ask you guys a question before we wrap up? Did Twitter stop doing the trending stories thing? Is it? I don't see that on the right anymore.
It just only loads half the time.
Oh.
Oh, it's I thought they stopped it. I know. I was wondering as well.
I'm looking at them right now. There's Ben and Jerry's, Gmail, Snow Leopard. They're still there. They only load sometimes, at least on my system. I don't know if it's
Oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah. Huh.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's just a little fickle sometimes.
It's fickle, like Twitter itself.
You never know. You never know what you're going to get when you go to Twitter. Will you get the fail whale? Will you get trending topics? Will you get nothing? Will you get Sarah Lane swearing at you? Anything could happen.
Acronym swearing is not the same thing. It's the polite swearing.
I took it personally.
Uh-huh, I'm sure. Yeah.
No,
you already knew that trick.
I just laugh whenever I see Sarah doing that. I think, that's my Sarah. That's my girl. Hey, what fun. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. Amber MacArthur is Miss Command N at CommandN.tv. And the new show for Xbox Live, soon to be on the web. What's the deal there? When are we going to see that, Amber?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't commit to that, but
soon.
Yeah, next week the site will be up and everybody's interviews will be on it. So it should be good to let people who don't have an Xbox actually have a chance to check the show out.
You've done Felicia Day. Who else have you done on the show?
Well, Sarah, we've done an interview with you, but I need to talk about you to you about it because we feel as though the video quality is not great on the webcam. So
you know what? I actually have access to a much better video stream.
Oh.
At least while I'm at work. So if you wanted to redo it,
it looks good here. Look how good it looks here.
Yeah,
I remember that day you were telling me that it was kind of hiccupy, so that might have had
it was cutting out. So yeah, we'd love to obviously we have time to do it again. So we've done Felicia Day. We'll get Sarah. We'll do the interview again with Sarah. We've done Casey McKinnon. She does a comic book Orange. Callie Lewis from Geek Brief TV. We also have interviewed this musician. Her name is Lights, and she does some really cool stuff online. She's also a big gamer and really into tech. Just interviewed Emma Caulfield from she was in Buffy and she has a bunch of sort of sci-fi movies the list kind of goes on. So it's been so much fun doing the show.
How do we find that on the Xbox? Is it in a section?
If you go onto the marketplace on your Xbox, then you can go into independent videos. It's only available in the U.S. right now, but the video, I think it should be one of the album art should be at the front of the list of independent videos, Where the Guild Lives and Red versus Blue and some other Xbox shows.
I will look for that. CommandN.tv 2, episode 192 just came out. So get ready. And of course, the wonderful Sarah Lane, she does This Week in Fun every Friday, 3 p.m. I'm sorry, 2 p.m., the new time.
2 p.m. Thanks. Good catch. I wouldn't even have remembered that.
It is fun.
2 p.m. 2 p.m.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show. And, and of course, you can see her. Is it secret or can I tell other people what you're doing on Current? How is that secret?
Secret? I don't know. I don't even know.
Aren't you doing a show on Current?
Well, I am. It's an upcoming show. It hasn't launched yet. But no, it's not a secret.
Not a secret. The world knows.
Knowledge.
She's soon to be a television star once again.
Something like that.
Back on the airwaves again.
Yeah. Yeah. See, to me, this is television. I don't even care anymore. My mediums have shifted completely.
You know, it doesn't. It's just a camera and a...
Great, but it's not like I have people who are still doing web shows in hopes to get on TV. And I just, that's going backwards.
I agree. You know? I'm with you on that.
So it's all good. I'm with you on that. But nothing's better than the next.
SarahLane.com, the brand new site. Go give her your opinion. I love the new design.
Thank you.
Squarespace site, of course. And I'm Leo Laporte, and I have nothing to report except that I am out of here. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on Net at Night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.